O Holy Spirit of God, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we may be the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. These words from the first letter of Peter give us mystical language to describe the mystery of God's goodness, of Christ, the Eucharist, and the mystery of the people of God. What can it mean for us to be living stones built into a spiritual house? Christ is a living stone, the cornerstone, the one on whom everything else depends, everything else rests. The cornerstone of a building was carefully prepared. It had to be exactly the right shape with exactly 90 degree angles so that every other part of the structure would have a stable and lasting base on which to rest. But as a living stone, Christ is dynamic, at work in the world, in our lives, holding up the spiritual house of the people of God. And Peter tells us that we are called to be living stones, so that together, as a people of God, we can become a spiritual house, to be a royal priesthood. What does it mean for us to be living stones? Have you ever been in a very old stone church, or perhaps a medieval cathedral in Europe? Have you touched the stones in the walls and the floors in those places? Have you felt the energy of the prayers prayed by hundreds or thousands of people over time? Have you felt the life in the stones in those places of prayer? I have a friend who has been to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. Maybe some of you have been there. And she said that the energy of all those prayers in those stones is palpable, almost overwhelming. Years ago, when I was at Chartres Cathedral on a retreat with Alan Jones and Lauren Artress, we walked in our stocking feet on the 800-year-old limestone floor, some of which is laid out in the pattern of the labyrinth. I still have the socks that I wore. I kept them in a plastic bag. So I have the dust of Chartres Cathedral on my socks in a plastic bag somewhere in the boxes in my house. But I felt the prayers and the presence of pilgrims from hundreds of years in that place. Perhaps you are like me and you have brought back stones from places you have visited in the world, maybe from a river, from the ocean, a holy place, vacation. Those stones for you hold the memories of your travels. The other night, John and I watched a movie on Netflix. We rented Departures. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's a foreign film. I highly recommend it. In the movie, the main character is a cellist in Tokyo, and the orchestra goes broke and he has to find a new vocation. We find out that his mother had died several years before, and so he moves back into the country with his young wife into his mother's house. We learn that his father had deserted them when Daigo, the young man, was 6 years old, and that he had never seen or heard from his father since then, probably about 20 years. And we see a flashback in the movie when Daigo was, before his father left, when he was 6 years old, his father had taken him to a place on the shore where there were rocks everywhere, stones everywhere. And his father told him a story. He said that long ago, before there was any written language, a person would give someone they loved a stone to express their feelings. The shape and the size and the color and texture and feel of the rock would convey the feelings to the person. And his father gave him a large, dark, gray rock. And the little boy, 6 years old, picked up a small, smooth, light-colored stone and gave it to his father. And throughout the movie, we see this stone that Daigo's father had given him, and he carries it everywhere with him. He has it in his cello case, and then he carries it everywhere. He keeps that rock, but he's also full of rage at his father for deserting him. So Daigo finds a new career as someone in Japan who lovingly prepares bodies for burial. And we see the love and the compassion that he shows and how he brings healing and reconciliation to grieving families. And then one day a letter comes to his house addressed to his mother, who has been dead for several years. And it tells him that his father has died in a nearby town and that his body will be cremated the next day. Well, Daigo is still so full of anger at his father that at first he refuses to go see his father's body. But finally, his wife implores him, and they both go. They find out that his father has been very alone for many years, has been working on the docks, has been a good hard worker, but living by himself, very alone. They find his father's body in a small building by the sea where he was living. While they're in there, the undertaker comes for his father's body, but he begins treating his father's body like an object instead of reverence, like a person. And so Daigo becomes very angry and sends the undertaker away. And then he begins to lovingly prepare his own father's body for burial. And as he does so, and he's arranging his hands, a small, smooth, light-colored stone falls out of his father's hand. a living stone. And so he remembers that day at the shore. And he knows that the rock that he gave his father carried his love for his father to the end. And he knows now, without a doubt, that his father loved him. And so he's able to let go of all the anger that he carried for all these years, and he weeps over his father's body. We can become living stones when we carry God's love to others. We can become living stones when we bring reconciliation to the world, like that stone brought reconciliation to a father and a son. We can become living stones by tasting that the Lord is good over and over again, tasting the goodness of God when we come week after week to share in the Eucharist. We can become living stones by immersing ourselves in a life of prayer together. We can become living stones in the world when we each meet God in the depths of our own souls and allow ourselves to be transformed for the healing of the world. Remember, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.